kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I guess I'm doing okay. You know what, Joe?
What?
I think we need to start the show with more pizzazz.
More pizzazz?
That's our problem. I think you need to, like, go full YouTuber and be like...
Yo, it's your boy here with there. Another hot podcast episode for yo ass.
Yes.
And shit.
But first, buy our merch.
And like, smash that like button. Carnage says smash that like button. Like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah. Ring the bell.
Visit our Patreon. Patreon.com/the SML Podcast. We need to get our recordings with Jacob started. Yeah. We have movie reviews on our Patreon.
Yes, I forgot all about that.
Yeah,
because I don't want... And at the same time, there was something I was like, oh, I need to watch that because it would be good to talk about during movie reviews. And then I forgot what it was.
I don't know. You just play Slay the Spire, so it doesn't matter.
I did. That's basically how I survived those reviews.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't want more 40-minute movie reviews on the episodes. He's like, yeah, I want to review this movie. I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Let's record it right now. 45 minutes later. Jesus Christ, shut the fuck up. Oh, man. Good intentions, though. It was funny.
More about the movie than the movie's actual runtime.
Probably.
It was funny, though. We do that with games, too. It shouldn't be a surprise. How many times have I been like, it's a 15-minute game, and then I go on to talk about it for a half hour?
Mm-hmm.
There goes my cat.
Rattleika. Which we'll be talking about later, but how was your Thanksgiving? Yep. How was your Black Friday? Did you do any shopping, get anything done?
I did do some shopping, but I cannot speak to what I purchased because my kids are in the other rooms and I just put them to bed and I know they're not asleep and they could hear me.
Nah.
So
Anything you got for yourself?
No, I didn't get myself anything. No, I never do.
I got myself way too much.
Yeah. Well, you don't have kids. You buy for your niece, but...
I am a kid.
And you were nice enough. You sent my girls a gift, which I'm greatly appreciative of.
I did.
And I think they're going to be super excited for that. You're welcome to say what that is. Again, I cannot say because they will hear me.
I got your kids Pokemans.
Yes.
Pokemon Shield.
They are going to lose their minds because that was very high on their Christmas list.
I was at GameStop. They had one traded in. And I was like, you know what? I have a bunch of coupons from when I traded in a bunch of shit. And I figured I would pick it up and give the game a shot. And I figured your kids would get a lot more use out of it than I would.
See, so. D was going to get it for them when he was there picking up their other item.
Mm.
And they didn't have any.
Really?
They didn't have any traded in for it. And they were like, we're sorry. And he's like, well, I guess he got them another one instead. That was not... I'm trying so hard to say it and not saying.
Should I talk about the shit I bought instead?
Yeah, go for it. Because my struggles are real over here.
We've gone over my struggles with Rock Band recently, right?
Yes. You've had all the struggles.
The thing is, like, Rock Band broke everything on the console. I couldn't load other games. Rock Band was sluggish. It would take 40 minutes to load before I could play anything on there. So we figured I would just delete it off the console, and we bought another console that's going to be specifically for Rock Band.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you ended up not going with an all digital one either, did you?
I didn't. We were considering doing the all digital, which would have been $150, and it came with three games. It had Fortnite that I didn't give a shit about. It had Minecraft, which I would have given to my niece, and then it had Sea of Thieves, which I already have Game Pass, so I don't need that either. But Amazon had a deal where they had the Jedi, the Star Wars Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order bundle. For like $160.
Wow.
Yeah. So after tax and shipping, it was $170 total. I paid $20 more for a disk drive and a better game.
Damn.
Yeah.
You got a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
Now I sit there and like, I thought I got a good deal when I got my PUBG Xbox One S. And now I see all the sales for the 1S's and I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So, I paid $229.
That's supposed to be here on Sunday along with Monster Hunter Iceborne Deluxe Edition. Normally $80.
Oh,
I got it for like
so good.
$42.
You're going to have to play Monster Hunter with me.
I'll have to. I've wanted to play it, but I just never have anyone to play with. And I suck playing it by myself because it's so methodical and slow-paced sometimes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're going to have to drag my ass through it.
The hard part, too, is like I don't like the way that the multiplayer system is set up. I've been trying to drag Stu through it, too, so I'll drag you both through it together.
Prime is saying me, so maybe he wants to play, too.
Yeah. The thing is like if you have a cutscene to watch, I can't join you until after you've watched the cutscene. And so that's the monotonous part, sitting there waiting for somebody to watch the cutscene, and then I can go in, and at this point, I'm horribly overpowered, so I'm just going to blow away whatever you were hunting. It'll at least speed you through, like, the beginning stuff and get you into endgame so that you can get past the god-awful story.
Yeah.
And just hunt the good monsters.
Or I could do the new Game Pass quest and kill two large was that a weekly one for last week? I don't remember.
They shuffle around so
yeah,
much.
They have new Game Pass quests, and they're fucking awesome.
Yes.
You could earn 30 reward points a day just by loading up a game and loading the app on your phone.
Yeah.
That's 3 cents for literally doing nothing.
I have been getting reward points just for going to the store and looking at a game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm okay with that.
I got a lot of reward points for ordering a bunch of shit. I broke down. I did get Breakpoint. I was kicking around the idea if I wanted to get the $30 edition or the Ultimate for $60. I ended up going with the Ultimate just because the year one pass is $40. Plus, it comes with the Deluxe Pack, which is another $10. Mm-hmm. I figured it was just worth it to do that.
Yeah.
Go big or go home, right?
It has to go in with your collection of Ultimate Editions. Like, you have a ton of them, so it makes
the,
sense.
The funny thing is, I took a steelbook from GameStop.
Oh my god.
I got permission. They were like, I don't give a shit. It was traded in. It's a nice looking steelbook. It was traded in, so they didn't care. They're like, whatever, we'll just put it in a blank case. We don't. They give no shits. It didn't have any of the codes with it, so obviously it was used. So, but yeah, I got a pretty looking steelbook that's sitting on a shelf behind me.
Nice.
I got Sekiro. I got a.
The collection grows.
It does. I got Scribblenauts Showdown. I picked up Shenmue 3 for the PS4 for $35 with the steelbook from Best Buy. So that was fun. I got Metro Exodus for $20. And then I gave away the digital copy of Metro 2033 on Reddit. And for some reason, it got like 700 upvotes. I don't get it. I'm just like, here's a free code for the first person who searches by new. And there's like a shitload. I woke up to like 15 comments, 600 upvotes. I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, people give away Game Pass in gold all the time on Reddit and they get like 4 upvotes. Why was mine so special?
I don't know, but I'm not mad about it.
I'm not either. Crazy. It's good stuff. I got more upvotes than some of the news of the week. By the way, there is a lot of news of the week. We should probably get to it, huh?
Yes.
Joe's a Reddit star. Yeah, right. Let's see. Big news of the week. Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus were announced. I think Xbox wins this month. Have you heard all the games?
I forgot what the PlayStation ones were.
Well,
Xboxes weren't bad.
On the 360 for December 1st through the 15th is Toy Story 3, which is an awesome game, and I don't give a shit what anyone else says.
My kids will play it.
Toy Story 3 is a fucking awesome game. It's like GTA for kids. It is. It's really good.
Wow. Is it easy achievements or no?
Yeah, I think I have like 800 in it or something.
Not too bad.
And then December 16th through the 31st is Castlevania Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate HD, which is like the side-scrolling arcade game.
Okay.
And then Xbox One, through the entire month of December, gets Insane Robots, which is a pretty solid game.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about, but pretty solid. And then the big one, December 16th through January 15th, Jurassic Park Evolution.
That's fantastic.
I am psyched about that one. I was looking up on eBay, looking to see how much used copies or digital codes went. Mm-hmm. Literally the day before the announcement, I was like, maybe I should pick this up. Fuck it, I'll wait. I don't need it right now.
It's like Zoo Tycoon, but with dinosaurs. It's fantastic.
They have new DLC coming out for it, too. Or it just came out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I don't have time to reinstall that and get lost in it again.
Yeah. Solid month, though. Solid month for Xbox. Some good games there. Jurassic Park, I think that's a big one.
Yeah, it is.
PlayStation Plus. Good in theory, bad in practice.
Really?
Yes. Titanfall 2. Amazing game, but it's been sold for $5.
Yeah. I wouldn't be mad to get it on Xbox at the same time, though. Or at least see it in Game Pass or something. But
well, it's on EA Access.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I have a month of that I've been... And I forgot to use.
it's already on EA Access, and they're giving it away on PlayStation Plus. It's just, I think, a missed opportunity. It's a great game, absolutely worth getting for free.
Too late.
It's a $5 game at this point. You can buy it at a dollar, a fucking five below, I've seen it.
Oh, no.
it sold well. There's a lot of copies out there. And then the other game is Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game, the one from 2018, when there's a new one releasing in 2020. In February of 2020. So I can understand that they want to put the old one out and get some attention on the series, but why not give the newer one?
Because that would be money that PlayStation doesn't want to shell out.
I don't know. I just think that's a really odd pick for a free game.
Yeah. I would have expected a little more out of them given that it's December.
Yeah. I mean, people weren't thrilled with the Xbox lineup, but I think when you compare it to PlayStation, Xbox has the better lineup for sure.
Yeah, it does. I still want to play Titanfall 2, though. And I just, now that you've told me it's in EA Access, because I'd forgot, where they did the deal where if you had Game Pass, you got a month of EA Access for free. And I forgot that I redeemed that, and I can go download Titanfall 2, and I may have to do that this weekend.
Yeah.
I love the first
Your
one.
Your weekend is it. Set.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I played the fucking shit out of the first one. Oh, it was so good.
Your weekend should also be packed because a couple of games are leaving Game Pass soon.
God damn it.
Yeah. Four of them are in the leaving soon section of Game Pass, so probably in the next 2 weeks or so they're going to go away. Mm-hmm. But Life is Strange Season 1, Life is Strange Before the Storm, Pro Evolution Soccer 2019, and Ashen.
Okay. I've already completed both of the Life is Stranges, and I don't care about soccer. So,
no.
So that just leaves Ashen, and I watched people play it, but I couldn't get into it.
It's a good game, but I didn't realize it's a $40 game. I thought it was $20.
It seemed a little niche-y to me, which is nuts, because I tend to gravitate toward like weird niche games, but it just didn't grab me.
Yeah, I saw it re-released on the Xbox store with the DLC that just came out for it, and I saw the price tag of $47.99. I'm like, is that for real?
Jesus.
I don't remember it being that expensive when it came out. I think
it being that pricey. Damn.
Yeah, that caught me off guard. $40 for Ashen threw me for a loop, but you know, I'll wait for a sale. I'll pick it up on a sale, I'm sure.
It'll end up back in Game Pass.
Yeah. Here's some crazy news. I'm sorry, but
not a lot of people are going to break their necks to grab it at that price, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
It was
Awesome $20. Prime saying it was $20 at the start. That's weird that they would double the price.
Mm.
I don't know. Some crazy news. It was announced that Battleborn will be shutting down in January 2021.
At least they gave plenty of warning time.
I didn't know the game was still going.
I mean,
I thought it was already shut down.
It was either, but kudos to them on the warning time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Happy Wars did that too. They were like, we're shutting down next year. I was like, thanks for the heads up.
I thought it was Happy Dungeons that shut down.
Oh my God, Pork, what do you want?
Maybe. Happy Wars shut down at the end of the 360 life cycle too.
Well, Happy Wars is on the Xbox One as well.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I don't know. Carnage is saying that the free-to-play MOBA Hyper Universe is shutting down February 10th of 2020. So there's more stuff going away.
Is that on Xbox? What the fuck is that? I've never heard of that.
It's free-to-play, so if you want to try it, go for it. Yeah, Battleborn shutting down January of 2021. Virtual currency purchases will be disabled starting February 24th. So if you want to buy in-game currency, you still have 2 months to do that, you know, if you care.
Don't know why you'd want to if you know it's going to shut down.
Yeah. Just 4 days before that in February, Devil May Cry 3 is releasing for the Switch, February 20th.
Arguably the best Devil May Cry.
2/20/2020. Good date.
Yeah. That is a good one. Excuse me.
Some news for racing fans. Codemasters has bought Slightly Mad Studios for $30 million. Slightly Mad is known for their work on the Project Cars series. So it looks like Codemasters is buying up their competition, maybe?
Wow. I don't know why, but when you say Codemasters, I don't think of them as a group that would buy up another group. But
I know.
Here we are.
I know. I didn't see Codemasters as really being, no offense to them, but that big. That they're buying a new studio, but hey, rock on for them. If this leads to better racing games, awesome.
Yeah. I'm a little hesitant when it comes to buying up a competitor. Hold on, I've got to save my paintbrushes from a kitten.
Uh-oh. Kitties. Give us live commentary. What's happening?
Give me that paintbrush tin.
There we go. Carnage says, crazy move. I guess they are slightly mad.
Get the fuck out of here. Okay. I moved the paintbrush bucket so that he can't get my paintbrushes.
Here's some cool news. The game Just Shapes and Beats is getting a Shovel Knight mixtape on December 4th. Meanwhile, the game still isn't on Xbox. What the fuck?
Yeah. I want this
game on Xbox so bad.
Speaking of not on Xbox, but before I forget, did you see who bought Beat Saber devs?
Was it Facebook?
Facebook!
Yeah.
Here we go! Fucking bought up the Beat Saber devs for VR development.
I wonder if that's going to affect the game's release on PSVR.
I don't know. I would incline to say yes because Facebook.
I mean, the game is still out on PSVR. I just wonder if they're going to bring any more DLC to it or what they're going to do. That would be like if Microsoft or Sony bought Harmonix for Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would they still release it on the other platform? I'm sure Microsoft would. Because
I mean, we've seen them doing that. Yeah. They're like, oh, you were working on a third party here. Let it go.
Sony would be like, fuck everybody.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches.
Microsoft is very much like, we don't care what platform you're on if you want to give us money.
Yeah.
They're playing the long game.
Oh, man. Let's see. Google announced the next two games that are joining their pro service lineup for Stadia are going to be Tomb Raider and Farming Simulator 19. They are apparently already accepting refund requests from people who bought the games since they were on the store for 2 weeks before being announced as free. So good job, Google, on your messaging. The Stadia launch just seems like a train wreck.
Why Farming Simulator 19 when 2020 is about to come out? Dee has been harassing me every day. Have you heard anything about Farming Simulator 2020 yet? Is it out yet? Are you going to review it so I can have it? Do we ask Joe if he's going to get it? I'm like, you're fucking shut up about that game. Here, play Farmer's Dynasty instead.
Yeah, seriously. It's not like you're hurting for farming games. There's a lot of them out there.
You know what? I'm going to tell him that he can only have Farming Simulator 2020. If he does Farming Simulator esports and makes us millionaires.
Are there really esports for Farming Sim?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Jesus.
That is not a joke. It is an esport league.
What the fuck?
And you can be a thousandaire with those prize pools.
I just won the Farming Simulator tournament. What'd you win? $20 and a coupon for McDonald's.
It is a legit esports situation, though. They had a championship last year, and
God damn,
yeah, they legit have FarmCon.
Hey, more power to them.
Oh my god.
No, geez.
It kills me.
All right.
Every time I talk about it, I'm sorry.
it just blows my mind that it's a real thing.
There's even an article on Forbes, and it says the Farming Simulator Esports League is surprisingly entertaining.
Oh, geez.
They give a team of 3 players a field of wheat in 15 minutes to score as many points as possible by turning wheat into bales and storing them in a barn. Never stop being funny.
Why?
And yes, FarmCon 2020, the developer is putting up $280,000 in prize money. And it was big name sponsors like Logitech and Intel.
Oh my god. Awesome Prime, let's make an e-sport of breaking the stream with bits. You know what? Yeah, do that. Break my stream with bits again. Give me your money. Give me all of your money.
Oh my god. Every your time. Money. I know it's true, and it still just it kills me.
Speaking of taking your money, the rumors were right, and GameStop is getting rid of their 10% off used game discount for pro members. They will instead give members a $5 coupon to use or lose each month starting this spring. That fucking sucks.
Yeah, if you buy more than one used game.
Yeah. That's, I mean, garbage. If you only buy one game a month and it's like a $20 used game, yeah, you're making out. But yeah, if you buy multiple games a month, you are getting screwed over by GameStop.
Uh-huh.
Part of me, like, I can't wait until the company goes under. Part of me. Like, I have a lot of friends who work there, and it would suck to see them out of jobs, but the company is just so shitty with their policies and what they do. Their pricing, their trade values, everything is just shitty and scummy. And that's the, you know, that's why I only trade in when they're doing like 50% bonus deals or like $5 bonus when you trade in a game that's worth $2.
Yeah.
I'll take advantage of them.
I remember one time we traded in a game and they charged us to trade it in.
Really?
I was like, what? Yeah, because they tried to say that it was scratched. And D was like, oh, yeah, because they were like, do you want the scratch repair? You know, we take off $1, but we let you trade it in. It was like $1.28 or something like that. David's like, yeah. And they're like, okay, so the game would have traded for 36 cents or some shit. He's like, what? It was a Madden game too, back in the 360 days. And at that point I was like, we're not doing this ever again.
Oh my lord. So I just got the coolest email I think I might ever get doing this show. There's a game coming out on Xbox this week called Wander Song. And I emailed, you know, I usually email the developers and I ask, hey, you know, can we get some codes to review the game on the show? Maybe do a giveaway with our listeners. The guy reached out to me and said, hey, I forwarded your email to the folks in charge of the keys. In the meantime, are you the same Joe Cam who hosted Bound Together so many years ago? My Earthbound remix project from like 15 years ago. Someone remembers it.
Wow.
So I feel really good about myself right now.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. So I feel special. I can't wait to reply back and be like, yes, that's me. Want to join my show?
I can see you on camera and you're glowing.
I am glowing. That's exciting.
It is exciting. Look,
I'm going to play some Bound Together on the show after this.
Man, I think you should.
I think I will. That's the music for this episode. We're going to play some Bound Together. I'm going to write that down. Yeah, so that's the news I have. Anything you want to talk about?
No, I already talked about it, or I would have forgot it. Now I don't even remember what it was.
The Facebooks? Should we dive into reviews? See?
Yeah. Like, what are we, speed running on accident? What is
it? Hey, works for me.
Go for it.
Yeah, we got 7 games to talk about tonight. Things are starting to pick back up again, which scares the shit out of me.
Oh.
First game to talk about is called Lost Ember, developed and published by Moon Eye Studios, released November 22nd on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $29.99. It is coming to the Switch, quote, in the months to come. A breathtakingly beautiful world holds the secrets of its past for you and your companion to uncover. Play any animal you meet to see the world from new perspectives and chase your destiny in the exploration adventure Lost Ember. Bull, tell us about it.
So Lost Ember starts with a cutscene where you're explained that there's this tribal group and they believe that upon death, you get to return to the City of Light. It's kind of their equivalent of a Christian heaven, if you will. But you can only return there if you were, you know, devout and believed. And if you strayed from their teachings, from the teachings of this tribe, and took a dark path, then instead of being allowed to return to the City of Light upon your death, you were sent back to Earth as a, quote, wild beast in order to correct yourself or be stuck forever, whichever one, you know, path you choose. So shortly into the game, we're given a prologue where we discover that we are playing as a dark wolf, and we are being guided by another spirit light who, for some reason, their memories are blocked and they're not able to enter into the City of Light either. But they haven't returned as an animal. They're just an orb of light. So it's up to you, playing as the wolf, to help break down the memories so that both you and the light spark can essentially go to heaven. The description called the game, you know, stunningly beautiful. Oh my gosh. This is one of the prettiest games I have played in a long time.
Yeah, it looked like, gorgeous.
It is. It's almost like an Ori level of pretty. Kind of like up there with Ori and Faye as far as the appearances go. It's completely three-dimensional. It's a semi-open world. You do go from chapter to chapter and unlock memories as you progress. But when you're in a chapter, you can explore it at your own leisure. There are different collectibles scattered around that you'll try to find, different relics that unlock a little bit of more history. When you find a memory, you have the ability to scan around and find extra pieces of that memory to get a little more info.
Awesome Prime is cheering biddies already, so he's starting this.
Look at them flying out of the cup. They're already unruly.
They're already jumping out of the cup.
Yeah.
So 10 biddies so far. Let's see what he does tonight. All one at a time, by the way.
One at a time. Dedication to a cause.
It is. He's just trying to crash the stream.
So one of the elements for the gameplay is that you have to overcome small puzzles. Sometimes there are areas that you need to get to that, as the wolf, you just simply can't. So, when that happens, your solution is to focus on any of the other animals in the world, and then you can take over their body and use them to progress. So, one of the first ones you'll interact with is a wombat. You can take on being a duck. You can become a hummingbird. You can become a tiny little duckling that can't do squat, but swim around in the water and try to fly. And it's the most adorable fucking thing that I have done all week.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm looking at screenshots
of this game, and Jesus Christ, it's this is a gorgeous game.
I did not expect. Like, I knew I had seen some of the promotional stuff for this game, and I was like, oh, that's pretty. It looks nice. But I'm kind of jaded at this point. And I see promotional material and I'm like, that ain't what that shit's going to look like.
No.
I'm cursed by police chase. And I just don't believe anything looks like that until I touch it.
It's all lies.
It's all lies.
It's all lies as Carnage drops five biddies too.
Like I'm bouncing around. But yeah, just I seriously, there's no achievement for doing it or anything. I just spent a disgusting amount of time as the duckling, just watching it waddle. And it can't fly, but it jumps and it flaps, and oh my God, I loved it.
I think I'm sold on that alone.
Seriously, you can be a hummingbird. Oh, the duck, you fly around, and I love just the mechanic. Like, it's cool enough to just fly around and find, oh, there was a capybara. That was the other one I couldn't remember. He don't do anything either. But you could just, like, roam around as a capybara. And I'm like, I love it.
That's awesome.
The story is really touching. The concept is really well done. And also, you could splash around in a pond as a duckling.
Little ducky.
I don't think it's going to be hard to guess what my rating for this game is.
Do you have anything more to say about it, or do you want to just dive into the rating?
The only thing else that I have to say is I did have a couple instances of frame rate issues where it was clearly trying to like load in the background, and it would get a little stuttery. I'm on an S, though. And at this point, I'm starting to accept that that's just what games do.
Yeah.
On an S. But if you are on a fat Xbox or an S, then that's something you may need to keep in consideration. I doubt it does it on an X. Maybe. But
I'll have to try. I just based on the screenshots and being able to play as a little ducky, I think I might have to pick this one up when I can. Look.
Even with the frame stutters, I wasn't pulled out of it enough to be disappointed. It is a fairly shorter campaign. Like, if you use a guide to help you find the collectibles, you're probably going to knock it out in about 5 to 6 hours. I know I saw some videos that were like 4, but they cut out some of the stuff that you have to do to get the achievement. So, so yeah, I'd say roughly 5 to 6 hour mark, which I think it's worth it. Absolutely.
Well, then overall, $30, your verdict?
You should buy this and love it and splash around as a duckling.
I will.
Yay.
As Prime dropped another 5 biddies.
Drop it, bitch! He's
paying for you to be a duckling.
He's going to just donate enough for me to buy Lost Ember. Tonight, probably. All one penny at a time. All right, next game to talk about is called Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, developed by Dim Bulb Games and Serenity Forge, published by Serenity Forge, released November 29th on Xbox One and Switch, December 2nd on the PS4 for $19.99. Where the Water Tastes Like Wine is a wistfully imaginative game about traveling the land, sharing stories, and surviving manifest destiny. Wander through a century of American folklore and history, encountering an eclectic cast of characters and exploring their deeply personal tales along the way. This game is amazing.
Oh my God. I have been watching this game for ages, literally like 2 years at least.
Yeah, we covered this like 2 years ago or so. We had the composer Ryan Eich on the show a while back to chat about the game. Tim reviewed it. He really enjoyed it. I want to know your opinion on it.
So we're going to go ahead and just like get the elephant out of the room. This is one of those art house kind of games. It appeals to a very specific type of player, and that's someone.
Drop it, bitch!
Thank you, Prime.
It definitely appeals to somebody who's a little more willing to just like kick back and explore and, you know, take their time and enjoy what they're taking in from the narrative. If you're looking for, like, hardcore action adventure,
you're in the wrong place. Yeah.
Now, if you want a killer soundtrack, if you want...
Oh, my God, the music is so good in this game.
Look, there were times I just found myself standing still just listening to the song.
Oh, yeah.
Or I would put the controller... You can... I'll get to, like, more detailed explanation in a minute, but you can auto-walk, and I would just set it to walk, and I would just be sitting here listening to the music while he wandered around till he found found a story. So, the premise of the game is that you are a traveler who has walked into a saloon, and there is a poker game, and you get unruly about it, and it comes down to you and a dire wolf, and he pushes in more than you can match, and you lose. So, in order to pay your debt to the dire wolf, you are cursed to wander the United States of America as a skeleton. Thank goodness he strips you of your flesh so that you don't feel any pain for this. You wander the country as a skeleton who is cursed to never die. But you have to wander and collect stories until you find the place where the water tastes like wine. So you set off on your adventure. This is going to be really hard to explain because this is where this is an artsy-fartsy game comes in. The country is just a flat-ass 2D map. And occasionally there will be hills or trees or a little bit of landscaping detail for wherever you are. You might see some houses. Your skeleton is a large ass dude. So that you could see him.
You're like Godzilla walking around.
Yeah. But everything else is definitely smaller. There's a blessing to that because it means that
Jesus Prime.
You can walk about a half mile per step. And you're still gonna feel like you are trudging along. The slowest motherfucker to ever draw a breath of air.
Oh, that's my one gripe with this game is how slow you move.
There are a couple of methods around that. Okay?
I don't believe you.
No, it's true. If you hold the left bumper, it will give you a whistling mini game. And if you match the whistles with the face buttons, then you will walk faster, so long as you can carry the tune. That is one method. The other method is the auto walk. You can just press right bumper, set him in a direction, and he will keep going until you press right bumper again.
So set it and forget it.
Yes, that's I found that to be the most effective way to do anything. But that was before I realized that there was a third method, because I'm an idiot who's like scanned through the tutorial stuff a little too fast for my own liking. I was like, how hard can this be? It's an art house game. It's a walking sim. I'm fine. I can manage this. But if I had read the directions, I would not have waited until I had already beat the game to discover that each of the characters that you come across, the NPCs you come across, give you a token. I thought those tokens were just like, yes, you met that character. Yes, you beat their story. Yeah, I'm an idiot. It actually fast travels you back to where you met them. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know until I beat the game, and it tells you in the tutorial section.
Well, we're both geniuses.
Oh, welp. So there's that. There's also the ability to hitchhike. So if you pull the right trigger and you stand by the road, cars that come by have a 25% chance to stop and pick you up. There is a downside to the hitchhiking.
You get murdered?
No, because you're a skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't have a say in when and where you get off. They just take you till they're done. So you better hope you don't see a pop-up indicating a story, because you're going to be backtracking for it. There is one other method for traveling around, and that is by train. There's actually two ways to go by train. One is you can hop a train illegally. That comes with some risk, because if you get caught, the cops beat the shit out of you. That sucks. But if you don't get caught, hey, you got to travel for free. But the rail lines are specifically going in certain places, and you don't get any say like between where they go. However, if you're in a big city, like say Miami or Chicago or Boise, then you can go into the city and go to a train station. And if you have money, then you can actually choose one of four cities to go to specifically and intentionally. And you don't get beat up, but you do lose your money because you have to pay for a ticket. Each of the cities provides an opportunity to explore and possibly learn a story or get shit beat out of you or get robbed or make money. There's a lot of crazy pop-ups that can happen when you're in a city. Then you can also have the option to panhandle or look for work. And of course, then there's the trains. And then there's stores where you can, you know, get food or get some rest if you're in need of that. Outside of the actual cities, you will occasionally find different situations that will pop up. Whenever you find a story that you can collect, it's represented by a circle and an icon. And usually it'll be like over top of a building or in a farm or something like that. Kind of a setting that fits with the story that's there. The stories, sometimes you have some choices and how the story is going to play out. You may find a group of women having a prayer session in the woods, and then you have a choice of let them know you're there or not. If you choose to not let them know you're there, like, then you hear their prayers go, oh, thank goodness the mysterious force has left. Like, they didn't know it was you, but they knew something was disturbing their area.
Yeah.
The thing with the stories is that you will run into NPCs who want to hear your stories. The more stories you tell them that are in line with what they want to hear, the more they will tell you about themselves. So the way that the NPCs work is you will run into one at a campfire outside of a city. You'll have the opportunity to tell them five stories before the night is through. If you tell them the stories that they want to hear, say, Althea asks you for a funny story, and you tell her one that is actually funny, then the little eye on her indicator will gradually open up. The more that eye is open, the more she'll tell you about herself. They'll mix and match the different types of stories, and you can choose in your inventory, which stories you're going to have on hand to be able to tell. So you want to make sure that you don't have the same stories you had the night before when you go looking for an NPC again, because you can't tell them the same story twice. As you tell the stories, they get retold and they evolve. And in that case, you can use it again, because then it's technically a different story. The best part of the game is finding out how some of these stories change.
Yeah.
Some of them go fucking crazy. Like, I started off with one story and it was so sad. You literally find a father who is looking for his child, and he's afraid the child had played in the grain silo. And then you climb into the grain silo and find out that, yeah, the kid was in there and he died. Because grain silos are fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
So then if you tell that sad story to somebody and it comes back to you, it eventually evolves to being the kid who died trying to get away from a tyrannical father. And then later it'll transform into the tyrannical father killed his son in a grain silo for not listening.
Oh, geez. And you're like,
that is a serious case of telephone, people.
Yeah. Just a little.
There was another one where a father had left the family to find work. And the little boy didn't want to be left behind, so he like climbed into his father's bag, and the father didn't know. But you just find the little boy in the father's bag in the woods, and you never find the father. So then, like, the story just like spirals out of control to where instead of being, you know, a little boy who ran away from home, it's a feral child living in the woods with the corpse of his father that he murdered to survive. And you're like, what?
Oh my God.
How did this happen? The stories are fucking dark. And I want to reiterate that because sometimes that is the game's greatest downfall. Given that the characters will say, I want to hear a funny story. I want to hear a scary story. I want to hear a thrilling story. I want to hear, you know, something happy or hopeful. Sometimes you might think a story is sad. And then they're like, what are you trying to get a laugh out of me with that for? Yeah. You're like, no, that wasn't funny. And that's probably the greatest downfall. There's no indicator to tell you, yeah, you discovered this was a hopeful story. Yeah, you discovered this is a funny story. This one was sad. This is a ghost story. And as they change, it can be really difficult to keep up with. This will get this kind of reaction. Thankfully, there are wikis available, but they are not complete because there are so many stories and they are so scattered and random in the game that they're different every time.
No.
There are 237 stories in all.
Which is a lot.
Which is even worse when I got to story number 210 and my game glitched and it stopped tracking the stories. In addition to no longer tracking the stories, I was not getting any new ones unless I purposely let myself die. And then I would respawn, and then I would have a story, but it would be one I already had. And it was the same one over and over about the guy who was killing travelers and curing the meat to feed his dogs.
Happy story.
It's a horrible story to find. Like, it truly is one of the hopeful ones. It's the terrible part. It's classified as a hopeful story.
Also like hopeful I said, is Prime trying to crash our stream.
Drop it, bitch!
He's so dedicated.
He is dedicated. Dedicated to a cause.
So, I had another problem in addition to the game getting to 210 and just stopping. And that was that there is an achievement for finding three stories with whippoorwills. You will find these stories relatively early in the game. I had them. The achievement never popped. I did everything possible to get these achievements to go. I had them initially in my first game. I was stuck at 210 anyway. So I tried growing the stories. I fed them to the wolf to try to get his to pop them. I did everything I could. No dice. I got sad enough about it. I was determined to be the first person to complete Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. I've never been the first person to complete a game. I had 36 out of 37 achievements. The only other person to play is Bills. He has one.
Oh,
and
no.
And I'm like, I can do this.
Drop it,
I'm going to start it over.
Prime and with so more biddies. Thank you, Prime.
Rip biddies, too. Oh, my God. Prime, you don't even know yet. I started over.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking when you told me.
I purposely only picked up the three Whippoorwill stories. And then I grew them. And then I fed them to the wolf. And it still won't pop the achievement.
Yeah, and we so did I get in touch with the devs, and they are looking into it. So hopefully this will be fixed.
Unfortunately, a patch wasn't going to come out past certification before today.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that cookie crumbles. But it is. And what's funny is TA now says like four people have played, but that achievement is still. That achievement is still just sitting there. And I've even loaded it up every day. I beat this game by putting in about 40 hours to it within the first 3 days of having it.
Damn.
I was just all into it. And that was before I even realized that, like, other people weren't going to have first on the achievements. That was when I was just, like, playing it because I was into it. And I forgot where I was going from that. But my hopes and dreams are dashed.
Yeah.
And even despite that, though, I still think that this is an incredible game that more people should play. I actually read a postmortem from the dev after it was released on Steam, where he said he sold less games than he had Twitter followers. And he had 4,000 Twitter followers. And that, like, he considered the game a commercial flop. And it broke my heart.
Nothing but praise about the game, which I'm surprised it didn't really sell that well, because I've heard so much good word of mouth. So many people talked about it. It's weird.
Right. I hadn't even read that until after I had already got to the point in the game where I had beat it officially and everything. And so I was shocked, because I couldn't imagine why this game wasn't getting more praise. Like, it won awards, and it's been very well regarded critically.
Yeah.
But it just hasn't found its footing among players. And the developer had actually said he worries that means these kind of niche artsy games are going to fall to the wayside. I feel like we've seen more of them lately, and I think that's great. I love these kind of games.
Yeah.
I realize that they're not for everyone. There's plenty of gamers who want nothing more than to just run through, mow people down in Grand Theft Auto and Call of Duty, and that's all they want in a game, and that's fine. Everybody's got their preference. But there is definitely room for games like this, as odd or quirky as they may be. There's room for them in people's games libraries. And I don't want to see these kind of games not be produced at a larger level. Like, the budget for this game was nuts, because that's the fucking direwolf is voiced by Sting. Okay?
That's amazing.
Sting is the narrator, guys. How do you not want to get a piece of that? And I don't want to see people shy away. The investors and game companies go, we can't produce this kind of art because there's not a market for it.
Yeah.
So I would normally be way harder on a game that glitched as severely as this one did at the end. I was still able to beat it. I did get to see the ending. I just didn't get to collect the last 20 stories.
Or the last achievement.
Or the last achievement.
Well, as it stands, $20, what do you say?
I'm going to give it a very recommended try. It needs to be polished, and it needs to be patched. But I want to see more games like this, and I want to see people try out games like this. These games like Where the Water Tastes Like Wine are what I consider perfect palate cleansers.
Yeah.
You can just sit down for an hour
and just wander and just tell stories. Wander
and just see where it goes. The stories and how they evolve, that's up to you. And just kind of, I think that was the best part of it, was I just kicked back in my chair. I didn't have to sit and do math like I do with Slay the Spire.
No.
I didn't have to sit and worry about somebody coming up behind me with a 725 at the back of my head like I do in Call of Duty. It was just me and the music and the open road.
Yeah. And shockingly enough, this is one of the few T-rated games I've seen drop an F-bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, when I saw that it was T-rated, I was kind of surprised, because it does get... And like I said, those stories are dark.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Have you ever read those books?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Those are like... My 7-year-old reads them.
I read them in elementary school. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, she's not 7 yet. She'll be 7 next, 3 weeks, but... If I don't start saying she's 7, I'll still say she's 6 for the next 3 months. So, I gotta jump on myself.
Oh, God.
The last thing I need is her correcting me about her age. But, like, she reads Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And then I sit there and I go, that's probably not good for your age group.
Oh, it's fine for our age group. There's nothing There's nothing bad in those books. They're just spooky. Also spooky is how slow my my bits are going with Prime dropping another 20 of them.
Drop it, bitch!
And they're like halfway falling out of the cup, halfway bouncing out, halfway going in.
I love how I started to mix and match the cheer moat now.
Yeah. Now it's filling with all different kind of emotes.
See, now we need somebody to come in with a sub and just, like, knock them all out.
Yeah.
That's what does it, is the sub just, like, sinks to the bottom and sends them all flying.
Oh, that's so fun to watch, too.
Yep.
Like last episode when Tony came in and did it.
It was so good.
That was so good. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Farmer's Dynasty, developed by Toplitz Productions, published by Big Ben Interactive, released November 21st on Steam for $29.99, PS4 for $39.99, Xbox One for $44.99 for some reason. Live, what? Build, yeah, those are the prices, and I don't know why.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's $5 more on Xbox compared to PS4. I don't get it. I don't know if it's a pricing error or... I don't know. Live, build, farm, enjoy a unique mix of farming, constructing, and life simulation that takes you to the countryside and holds plenty of challenging gameplay in stock. Cole, tell us about Farmer's Dynasty.
I expected more of like a farming simulator type of game here. But this is like if 3D first-person farm sim had a bastard love child with Stardew Valley. And then left it out in the woods to fend for itself.
Okay.
That was mean, and I feel a little bad for it. But fucking seriously. All right, so Farmer's Dynasty's premise is, much like Stardew Valley, grandfather passes away, and your neighbor Oliver has been taking care of the farm. Now you're there, and it's your job to... restore the farm to its glory days and beyond. Unlike literally every other game with this premise, you have no control over what your character looks like. You play as a plaid clad dude with a red hat. He looks like he was a stock model for if you went to like the Unreal Asset store and typed in farmer. You'd get this guy.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's just... None of the character models are well done. They all very much look and move like very janky stock assets that weren't intended to be used this way. On top of that, they... God damn it. I'm getting spam on the Xbox app and it's popping up and making noise.
I didn't hear anything.
Thank goodness. It's popping up through the computer and going do-do-do, 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 and I'm like, stop!
The hell's happening?
But you don't have any character customization. Your dude is very jinkily animated. You occasionally in cutscenes you can see him. Because the cutscenes bust out and go like third person. The face animation, there are no facial expressions. BioWare does a better job of facial expressions. These guys just like look like their faces are full of Botox.
Oh God.
And the mouth animation doesn't sync with the language at all. It's very obviously a dub over. They didn't even try to hide it.
I won't hold that against them because a lot of smaller devs, you know, you can't do lip syncing for every language out there. It's just, you take what you could get there. SpongeBoo was saying that he watched a vid and the dude had to fix his house and barn before he could even farm. Is that right?
Yes, that is a big part of it. And it's not even like, oh, fix, you know, one or two things here or there. It's literally every building is run down and there's no quick tool option. Every time you want to change your tools, you have to go into an actual tool menu and then right bumper your way through them one by one. You'll have to build scaffolding so that you can get up on the roof of the barn and the house and the greenhouse. You'll have to find metal that you can use to replace broken doors. The odd aspect of this is that usually in games like this, you'll grow a little bit and you'll earn some money and you upgrade something and then, like, say your chicken coop, and then you'll get eggs that you can sell, and then you can use that money to upgrade something else. But in Farmer's Dynasty, you have to just wander around aimlessly and fix everything. Man. It doesn't cost any money to fix it, but you just have to do it all. You just have to, like, literally my biggest chunk of time in the game was wandering around. You do have the ability to hold RB and go into engineer vision, and you can see what's broken. If it weren't for that, you would be fucked, because you literally have tiny little slivers of red where the concrete foundation of the farmhouse is broken, and you have to fix it. That was the last thing I found. I could not figure out what I was fucking up. I was like, I don't see anything that's broken. And it's this tiny little sliver of visible concrete foundation that you have to sit and fix all the way around the house. It can be the most mundane shit that is hidden. It might be that you have the roof, for example, will be broken down into like four different sections. And it's incredibly inconsistent as far as like how the damage goes and how you repair it. Like, you may see one area and you may only have to click on it twice to repair it, whereas another area you may have to click on it four times to repair it, two times to repair it with metal, and then four more times to repair it with the second time would be rusted metal, and then repair it with metal. And you're like, for fuck's sakes. Like, why did that area, was it fixable in two clicks, but this one's going to take me 27?
Yeah.
It was incredibly inconsistent.
It sounds like you didn't really enjoy this one.
No. And I wanted to. Like, I was kind of
Yeah, you excited. Love farming games, too.
I was especially excited when I saw that it kind of had that, you know, fix things up, Stardew Valley type story element to it. I'm like, oh, I can get into this. You get to go talk to people. You get to go do your shopping for your seeds and stuff. You got a greenhouse. Like, you don't just plow a field and plant tomatoes in it. You have to buy a seed and plant it in the greenhouse. And it's also extremely limited in what you can grow. You have a little bit of wheat. You can grow wheat. You can grow, I think there's no leveling system. So as long as you can afford something, you can grow it. But there was only, I think, four plants that you could grow in the greenhouse. It was like zucchini, tomato, pumpkin, and it was one other one. And I can't remember what it was. And I was just like, why can't you just put these in a field?
Yeah.
Like you normally would. But they were stuck to being grown in the greenhouse. And then, you know, your chickens had to be in the chicken coop area. You had to fix your barn before you could have any cows. You couldn't have other options for like goats and sheep or anything like that. It was just cows, just chickens, just what's grow here. You know, wheat and the tomatoes and stuff. And it was like, okay, but you were so close to being on the right path. And then it's just like they kind of threw in the towel. It's like, now we're good. I also got a laugh. Clearly, there was no licensing involved with Farmer's Dynasty. A lot of farming games do at least make an effort. I'm pretty sure John Deere will sign a licensing agreement with any game. They don't give a fuck. Every one of them I have played up until this point has had a John Deere license. And there's one instance in the story where Oliver says, hey, if you come over and fix my farm for you, I'll give you a tractor. And he tells you that he'll give you that old John Deere over there. He says that in the audio, but in the subtitles, he says Jack Bear. And when you actually get the tractor, it's a Jack Bear instead of a John Deere. And I'm like, if that isn't symbolic of this whole game.
Oh, man. SpongeBob is asking if it's better to just stick to Farming Sim.
Yeah, I think if you were going to play a game where you wanted the social element, like this game actually has the option to find a spouse. You have to find a wife. There ain't no gay marriage in this shit. you have to find a wife and you get to have some kids. Like, if that's the kind of story element you want mixed in with your farming, go for Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
If you want to be weird with it, go for Graveyard Keeper, because even that's going to be more farming oriented than this actual game is.
Well, then for $30 to $45 based on your platform, what is your verdict?
I give it a deny it. I feel so bad because I did want to love it. I honestly did. I play a lot of these, but I cannot recommend that you spend that much money on this game, especially given that they're charging Xbox more.
No.
I would say if anything was its saving grace, if you can stomach it, the achievements are fairly simple. But that's a hard road to toe for a $45 price tag.
Yeah. Do you think if it was 30, it would be more palatable?
No.
No?
I think if it were like 15 or 20, maybe, I'd be like, yeah, but not. I can't at 45. I honestly can't. I'm sorry.
Oh, well. Next game to talk about is called Construction Simulator 2, developed by Waltenbauer Software, published by Astragon Entertainment, released November 6th on the Switch for $19.99. Once you've started your own company, you can start exploring new regions and West Side Plains bit by bit and accept ever larger and more lucrative construction jobs in the open world of Construction Simulator 2 Console Edition. Certainly not covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML mercenaries. I am Serlina, reviewer extraordinaire. This week I'm reviewing Construction Simulator 2 for the Nintendo Switch. Construction Simulator 2 is developed by Astragon, and they're pretty much responsible for all the hyper-realistic simulator games that we know and love. Construction Simulator 2 is no different in this regard, as it's a direct port from the Steam release of the game in 2018. Explaining the premise of the game to those who are unfamiliar with this genre, you play as the eager owner of a brand new construction company, and it's up to you to bring your company to prominence. You get to earn money by completing jobs or challenges, which are strewn about throughout the game. Use that money to buy vehicles that you need, upgrade your home base, or repair your vehicles when you need to. How well does the game work on the Switch? That's the question. It works really well, almost as if the game was made to be played on the Switch. The graphics are pretty decent. I didn't experience any clipping, frame drops, or anything that pulled me out of the game visually. The starting area is a desert, so it's very tan, but it still looks alright. There are three other districts you can unlock that offer different color palettes, but you won't be blown away. The neighborhoods are a bit cookie cutter, but it's functional, kind of like IKEA. The music is chill and relaxing. I would describe it as light alt-rock, and it was never overpowering. The controls, while numerous, feel so natural. You want to accelerate or brake? Those commands are mapped as you think they would be. Also, the game uses the touchscreen, so pulling up a menu and tapping what you need works great and is sometimes quicker than using the sticks to navigate. That's what I like to hear, when Switch games actually use the touchscreen for menus.
Yeah.
They don't always do that, so... The game is very, very good at telling you what you need to do in the tutorial and beyond. Each vehicle uses the sticks for different movements and functions that you'll need to get down fairly well to complete your jobs and progress your game. To be fair, it's a little overwhelming if you're starting out, but the help overlays are stellar. You can toggle them on or off at your discretion, and the overlays show you what each direction of the sticks will make your vehicle behave. This was invaluable for a beginner such as myself, as I'm trying to remember what pushing the left stick will make my crane arm do. Missions are fairly standard. A person has something they need to fix or build or deliver, and you complete that mission in various steps. Some of the steps are busy work, and once you learn some shortcuts, the missions go by faster. That's one criticism of the game that I have. It's that those missions are real long. While I admit to being a newbie to the genre, it took me over an hour to complete the tutorial mission because I found a shortcut, and the game didn't recognize that I did what it wanted me to do, so I had to start a section all over. At the same time, I completed a challenge and earned some money for playing for over an hour, so silver linings, I guess. Oh yes, the game is forgiving. If you drive into a ditch and can't get out, you can reset your vehicle indefinitely. If you get stuck in a mission, you can restart a section of that mission or skip to the next part of the mission entirely. I don't advise skipping because you can potentially lose money for completing the job, but the fact that it's there is nice if you need it. Let's not forget that this is a realistic simulator, so there are some things that are frowned upon. GTA, this is not, so breaking the law costs you money. Speeding, running red lights, crashing into cars, running over people gets you fines. Running over people gets you a fine.
Yeah, I've seen Steve play this. So, yeah. You can turn it off, though. There's a setting. And then you like get to run over people without any consequence, but doesn't do you any favors either.
However, I did discover I could flip parked cars with no penalties, so I flipped away at my leisure. Construction Simulator 2 is available right now on the Nintendo Switch for $19.99. Is it worth your time? I feel you should definitely buy this game. It's fun, challenging without being infuriating, and gives an overall cool experience. Sounds like that turned out better than Farmer's Dynasty.
Yeah, the Construction Sim games are actually pretty good.
Are they?
Yeah, D loves them. He plays them a ton.
You want to know what else is good? Awesome Prime dropping 105 more biddies. Thankfully, these weren't all individuals.
Drop it!
That's heartbreaking.
Oh my god, if there was 101 just dropping 100 at a time. Oh my lord, that would be insane. Prime, thank you for the biddies as always. Much appreciated. But moving on, the next game to talk about is called Green, The Life Algorithm, developed and published by Estación Pi, released November 22nd on Xbox One, Switch, PC, and PS4 for $14.99. Green, The Life Algorithm is a 2D action-adventure video game based in a world invaded by genetically altered vegetation. Cole, tell us about it.
So, Green is a story of humanity after they're on the brink of extinction, thanks to an uprising of genetically mutated killer plants. And it plays out in the form of a 2D platformer. That's all well and good on the surface.
Uh-oh.
And I want to say, before I start shitting on this, this is another gorgeous game. This has been a very good week for pretty games.
Yes.
I'm happy for that, at least. And this one, Green, is no exception. It's beautifully done. Maybe not Lost Ember level of pretty, but it's pretty for a platformer. And that's great. And that's what drew me to it. And that's pretty much where it just stops. I think the intention with Green was to be Dead Cells level of difficult. It has that Metroidvania-esque element to it. And you can't actually kill any of the mutated plants that you come in contact with. So you're forced to learn to navigate around them. But the controls have their issues. And yes, for a platformer, that's where you get into unforgivable territory. I can tolerate a lot in games, but when your controls are bad in a platformer, we're going to fight. The biggest issue for me is that your character kind of moves like they're in speedrunners. If you remember how speedrunners had that very quick, dodgy movement. And that could be fine. You could work with that in a platformer if it weren't to the fact that there's no stopping your character once they get going. They almost kind of slide through the level.
Yeah, there's a momentum to the physics that really throws you off.
You are going to end up hitting the spikes 974 million times. And you could forgive that if the spike damage was consistent. If it's a platform with spikes, it's only going to damage you a little bit. But if it's thorns growing up a wall, that's instant death and you have to do the room over again. And it's like,
Son of a bitch.
If I'm going to hit spikes, let it do one thing or the other. Don't leave me wondering how much I'm going to die when I fuck up. Even if you're not trying to take it as a speedrunning experience, and there are people, I am sure, somewhere who are speedrunning the shit out of this. Probably. Kudos to them. That's not me.
Doesn't it have a speedrun timer in the options, too?
I think it does. And I was like, nope. Ain't got time for that. But, like I said, you get that momentum going, and you're just trying to, like, navigate the level. The other weird thing with that momentum aspect, where, like, you're moving, and you can't stop when you get to the edge, but you can't aim while you're moving. So you do have a little laser gun, and you can damage it. Doesn't kill it, but you can damage it. But you can't aim while you're moving, which in a platformer is horrible. Every time. I'm sorry.
Well, you kind of can aim. You can't really aim well. Like, you can hold different directions while you're running and shooting those, but
you ain't going to hit anything. That was the thing. Like, D was watching me and he's like, did you just suddenly get really bad or is something wrong with the game? And I'm like, no, it's definitely not me. Be right back. I'm going to go get 50 kills in Call of Duty to prove I can aim. But yeah, I found that if I tried to aim with movement, it was just completely unpredictable and had no value whatsoever. The aiming mechanic requires you to hold RB, which stand while standing in place, then using your left stick to actually aim, and then X to shoot. My fingers are crooked, and I have arthritis, and that is a god-awful setup.
Yeah.
Aiming should be on the left and shooting on the right, unless you give the option to switch it for people who are left-handed, which should be an accessibility feature in every game that allows you to aim. That's another soapbox for another day. But it shouldn't, and having the aim and then the shooting being on a face button, it was horribly uncomfortable, and it made a frustrating situation even worse for me. Again, we are in a situation where I really wanted to love a game. It's pretty, has a really cool story, and there are some really neat platforming mechanics. I love the plants that shoot out these seed pods, and then you have to hit the pod, and it unfurls into a platform.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That kind of stuff was so cool. And I loved it when I got into it and could actually aim and hit it. It would take me several tries, but eventually I would get it. The other problem that I have with green is that there's no navigation whatsoever. You're going to be lost. I hope you like wandering around in a circle for 24 minutes before you just say, I give, and turning off for a while. Did you have that trouble?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure it wasn't me. I will confess that the control situation is my hand issue, and that sucks.
Yeah.
But some kind of waypoint, some kind of map, some kind of, hey, go here, jackass, that would be nice. I felt like I never really progressed the game. And I know that there's supposed to be that Metroidvania aspect where you get a new ability and you go back, and that's super cool.
And a lot of exploration. Oh my God, Prime just dropped 50 biddies individually.
Oh no.
Oh my God, they're falling so slow. Oh my God.
Drop it, bear!
You know what? I could play a long one for this, so here we go.
Okay.
Dropping bits! Ah, all over your fucking face. Ah, wet pancakes.
Oh my God, there's so many biddies. Thank you, Prime, for the 50 biddies. All individual. It is slowing to a crawl. You are murdering the stream.
I love how the best way to get bits for this show has been have it absolutely break us.
Yes. That's how we're going to earn our fort. That's how I'm getting my PC, is just one single bit at a time. Oh my God. Now we really need a sub to come in and just boom.
Blow them out of the water.
Anyway, Green, coming in at $15. What are your thoughts?
I really want to give it a try. It. I think, though, that you would have to be the kind of player who is hardcore into this kind of platformer and wouldn't mind just getting lost and mindlessly exploring for hours.
Yeah.
If you're the kind of player like me that needs a little more of a sign that says, hey, go here, jackass, then you're going to struggle with it more and you might want to just let it go.
No. I agree with you, but overall a fun game. No Time for Games dropping 575 biddies.
Is it going to knock them out?
I don't know. It looks like it's going to miss the cup.
Oh my God.
It's going to hit the rim of the cup. Oh God.
It's a rim dunk.
Oh no. No, it missed. It's a rim dunk. It hit the rim and bounced off. Right off screen.
Oh,
son of a bitch.
Dropping bits.
Oh, I gotta do it again.
Oh my lord! Thank you so much for the biddies. No time. Joe, you and Prime. God damn.
You're almost at halfway to your.
Yeah, we're at 49% to refitty the shitty compitty. It's headed for my head. Yeah, bounced right off. Doink.
Oh man.
Oh my lord. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Little Dungeon Stories, developed by David Morlejo Sanchez, published by Grab the Games, releasing December 6th on Steam. I believe for $4.99. I inquired about the price, but I never heard back. I know on their Kickstarter, they said the game is supposed to be $5, so expect $4.99, maybe $9.99. Who knows? Flip a coin. We'll find out. Little Dungeon Stories is a challenging roguelike card-based RPG. Enter the dungeon full of secrets, hostile monsters, deadly traps, and legendary loots. How long can you survive? Cole, how long did you survive?
Floor 128.
Hot damn.
Yeah, that's my record, and I'm pretty damn proud of it, because this game is surprisingly difficult for a game so stupidly simple. I've previewed it before it came out. Excuse me, I have the hiccups, apparently.
Proud of you.
Hit me out of nowhere. I got too tickled by the biddy drop.
The biddy drop.
Fucked up
and
my
just
diaphragm.
Missing the cup. Oh, God.
Yeah. It was so anticlimactic. But the game is incredibly simple. Every time you play, you get a randomized character name. You don't ever see your character. It is a card-based game. I think the most pathetic computer in the world could play this game. You don't need anything special for it. And
so
that's
kind
of what
it.
I love. You probably could. Yeah, honestly.
I can run it.
It's fantastically simple, though. You get one card for every level that you're on. So you start off with a card, and at the top, I did fuss about this in the preview, it still stands. You move the card either left or right to interact with it and to carry out your task, make your decisions. When you do that, like, it kind of grays over the top of the card with a little bit of a shadow, and then the font is black on top of that. And so it can be really difficult. Like, if you're moving kind of quickly, you may not read it properly just because it's kind of hard to see. There were times where, like, I made a decision, and then after I thought about it, I was like, that was dumb. But I had thought it read a different way. This is most noticeable in a card that may result in you getting a positive or negative effect, and so it might look like a plus or minus sign just because you can't see all of it properly. And you're like, well, that sucked. Carry on. What are you going to do?
Crime asking if it could run on his Windows 95 computer. It requires Windows 7 at least.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they're required to say.
Yeah.
I bet you probably could.
Does Steam even run on Windows 95?
Probably not.
I don't know.
I bet it plays fine on mobile, though. Because it was probably meant for mobile initially anyway. With the whole swiping left and right aspect. You'll get a card, say, something. It'll be like, you found a crate. What do you want to do with it? You can either open it or break it into a shield and make a makeshift shield out of it. But making it into a shield might not work because you might not be intelligent enough to do that. But if you do it and it works, then hey, you got a shield and you get a little bit of intelligence because you figured it out. It's roguelite. It's all RNG. Sometimes doesn't matter what you decide. The Orc King is going to take your head off anyway. You can run into different ingredients to make potions and learn different potion spells. The alchemist can take your potions recipes and turn them into a potion for you. He's a handy dude if you happen to have the money. There are four aspects of your character that you need to keep an eye on. You have health, you have stamina, you have your humanity, and you have your money. If you run out of money, game over. You can't afford to buy food. If you run out of humanity, game over. That's just the rules. You turn to the dark side. Sucks to be you. Nobody's Darth Vader here. if you run out of stamina, don't have any energy left, can't swipe left or right, fuck out of here. And if you run out of health, you're dead. This looks to be you again. So you need to keep an eye on all four of those elements, which leads you to making choices based on how they're going to affect those four traits. So you might find a black cat, for example. If you pet it, that's going to boost your humanity, but you're going to lose a little stamina for swiping the card. But if you ignore it, then you don't waste any stamina, but you don't get any humanity either. Make sense?
Yeah.
Same for if you find a chest. If you don't have any keys, you can waste some stamina and try to bust it open the hard way. Or you can just pop it with a key, not cost any stamina, and get your goodies. Super basic, super simple card game. And yet somehow I found myself playing it for 6 hours straight. David had the Xbox. He was playing Need for Speed. I'm sitting over here like twiddling my thumbs. I've been stuck in my chair a lot lately because of shitty weather, and so I haven't been allowed to do anything around the house because everybody thinks I'm going to break my leg again.
You will.
Probably. Also, they're trying to make sure I don't break before I have back surgery next week. It's all fun and games till, you know, you fuck up your vertebrae even worse.
Yeah.
Right before they go sticking a giant needle in it. So I just found myself sitting here, like, I was listening to music, I had YouTube up for a little bit, and I was just playing casually, shitting and getting it through the levels, and then, like, I realized that every time I was getting a little further, and I was doing a little better, and then I was unlocking different cards that could show up, and then I beat the first boss, and I was like, oh! And then I beat the second one, oh! And then I died because I didn't see a cat and I lost my humanity. And it's just like in real life where I was sitting there like, all I needed was a black cat to save me.
Kitty, no.
Why did you betray me, kitty? I love that that's Why? How you get humanity back, just to pet a black cat.
Yeah.
You can pray at an altar, but seriously, the black cat. I'm far happier to see that come up than the altar any day of the week. But yeah, super easy little game. It's a lot of fun. I hope it comes to Xbox. I can just see myself sitting there on Xbox, just left, right, left, right, left, right, all day long.
You'll be addicted once again.
I would, and it's so problematic. I can't afford this.
Well, for the presumed $5 to $10 price tag, what do you think of it?
I think even if it was $10, I would still give it a buy it. I was really into it. I think it's great. Anybody that loves card games, you don't have to worry about deck building. It's just, this is what happens, yes or no. And it's so easy to play and so mindless to play, and yet you can really get into it and like put a lot of thought into how your character turns out.
Nice.
Yeah, and pet the kitties.
Pet the kitties.
Always.
Kitties. Kitties. Our kittens are so goddamn adorable now.
Are you guys? I swear you're going to end up keeping those cats. You
we, know are. We are. We are. We've given up and accepted it. We have a lucky 13.
Cam. I love kitty cam. Every time your wife
Ashley posting them on Facebook.
I love it. I get so tickled by kitty cam. And you wouldn't think I'd be that amused by kitty cam because I have my own kitten right now to keep an eye on. But Cass is lazy and he just sleeps. Like, he's learning terrible habits from the other two cats. And it's basically the habit of lay on mom's table until somebody says snack time.
Bungeboo, kitties are the devil. I agree 100%. They're the devil.
They got Piddles laying right
next to me. Cats. Oh, Piddle Bear. You're so pretty. You're so fat and pretty. All right,
we don't body shame, Joe.
I'm fat and pretty too. So
that's what I always tell. And it's terrible because I said something the other day that number one's cat Raven has, when we got him, he was horribly malnourished and underweight. And we've had him for a year now, and like, he's a huge cat. he's not quite as big as Gabe, but he's gained a lot of weight. And so I was like, Pickle. I'm like, you filled out and you look so much better. You're a fat boy now. And everyone's like, we don't body shame, Mom. Stop body shaming my cat. I'm like, but I'm complimenting him because he looks good so fat.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, final game to talk about tonight is called Foxyland, developed by Bug Studio, published by Rattlelake Games, released November 26th on PS4 and Vita, 27th on Xbox One, 29th on the Switch for $4.99. Help Foxy Fox on a dangerous journey to rescue his love, Jenny. Without your help, Foxy won't be able to save her. Cole, tell us about Foxyland.
Of course it's a damsel in distress type game. No.
This is like classic traditional 2D all the way, story and all.
Yeah, it's you know, I can't be mad at it. Like, you can tell that there are certain callbacks in the way that it's just designed overall. That, like, it's supposed to look and feel like a retro 2D platformer. And so in a way you're like, well, whatever. It is what it is. You're not playing these for the story anyway, and they know it. You know why you're not playing it for the story? Because you you're can playing complete it, for it the achievements. In about 20 minutes. It's a fucking Rattlelake game. Man, these guys know what they're doing.
They do.
I will say, they did take a break, though. They were like 2 weeks without a Rattlelake, and here we are. Apparently they had Thanksgiving wherever they are, I guess. excuse me. But you have your little fox sprite. You have a certain number of diamonds in each level. Some of them only have 2. Some of them have 5. Some of them have somewhere in between. And your goal is basically to get all the diamonds so that the little house at the end of the level, the door opens up. I was surprised at how intricate some of the levels are. It's still incredibly easy.
Yeah.
But some of the levels, they have some puzzle to them, and you really have to think about how you're going to unlock the doors to get to certain diamonds. I was surprised by that. I don't know why, because whoever is developing these little platformers for Rattlelake, there hasn't been a one yet where I've been like, this was poorly thought out and didn't play well. Every one of them have played like a solid platformer. Yeah, you can complete it quickly. You can knock it out, get it out of the way. Usually they only want you to at least play half the game to get the achievements.
This one you only have to play 20 of the stages.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure how many there were total. I actually had just loaded up because I was going to see if I could find it. And then I got to talking and forgot to look.
I'm so proud of you.
Let's see. Oops, too much.
So proud of you.
36 levels with 3 bonus stages. So 39 in all. So yeah, just barely over half to complete it. And you know what? If you like platformers, you're probably going to want to keep playing them because they are well thought out levels. They're well designed. They're really creative, and I think they're pretty damn good. I played a couple extra even after I got the achievements because I was like, I'm kind of into this.
It's a fun game. It's cute. It's fun. I picked this up as a Creators Club game, and I think it got the full Xbox treatment. So I don't mind having it again. It's a fun game.
And it's not very expensive.
No, it's only $5.
Typical Rattlelake.
Indeed.
Actually, that's one of their cheaper ones. Sometimes they hit $6 and $7.
Sometimes.
So, but, I mean, it's even one of the cheaper ones as far as cheap Rattlelake goes.
Yeah. So, for the $5, what do you think?
$5? You know, normally I would be like, fuck it, why not? But this one plays so well and is solid enough that I think it just straight out earns a buy it.
Awesome. I agree. It's cool, it's fun, easy completion, and it's adorable. Mm-hmm.
Get your game of school.
Go get some cherries.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one.
We did it.
2 hours. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Speed run strats?
Nah, not necessarily speed run. It's still like an hour 40.
Speed run for our standard strats.
You didn't spend 20 minutes on where the water tastes like wine.
I would have kept going.
I know you would have.
I love that game so hard, and I was so heartbroken that it glitched out on me so bad.
Well, hopefully they fix it soon, and you could go get your final achievement and be the first to complete it.
TA says 5 people have played it now, and every time I see somebody new, I'm like, still glitched, fuckers.
You sons of bitches.
It's gonna be mine. Back off.
Anyway, music for the episode. Gonna play a couple of tracks from my Bound Together project from about 15 years ago. Oh my God, I can't believe it's that old.
So old.
My back hurts just thinking about that. But if you like Earthbound remixes, Bound Together, you should give that a Google and give it a download. A lot of songs, a lot of cool artists on there. And Dale North, the man behind Sparklight soundtrack, he's on there. Jake Kaufman, the guy behind Shovel Knight soundtrack, he's on there. I got friends, man. I got some friends. I do. But yeah, that's it for this episode. Do you have any final words to end it?
No. But back off of where the water tastes like wine's achievements. That's mine.
motherfucker, you sucker, I'll be like no other. From on it to three, doing what I need to save the day and keep Gygus at bay. Skip sandwich deluxe, speed up my feet, get through Skara before I die of heat. To a dungeon man, the brick road maze dude, happy, happy town.
What the fuck?
It's all blue, summers and winters, Tucson and Forsyth, chill with Dan Donuts or the Runaway Five. I got my posse in tow, Paula, Jeff, and Pooh. Pokey, watch out, cause we're coming for you. So grab your yo-yo and gun, we'll have a little fun. Bottle rocket in your face, yeah, you know I fucking won. Threw him to the curb, stomped the little bitch's face, made the fat piggy cry, yeah, I put him in his place. So I saved the day and the world from devastation, united for peace across the earthbound nation.
So back up
and shut up and bow at my feet. Ness is taking care of business, cause I'm fucking leap.
How you living, big man?
I'm having trouble with my tribbles. Shit smells so foul, you could call it double dribble. In fact, make it a triple. Got beef, we call it mutton. Moving through the vents, A3 and Charlie Dutton. I'm a strap bomb, verbal blitz vocation. I am patient with my rhyme scope, snipes like Asians. A rap vacation, a rhyme culmination. Putting words on the page like bird flew to Asians. Hit hard like crack rock, they call me the shock doc. I'm stocking like pet shops on one of them red jobs. Sign pulling to pawpaw, smuggle like bed frames. 2 pounds of coleslaw delivered in red veins. They call me Hank on the roof, big man on a mission. Can't fuck with the truth, like bomb on your vision. 2 rounds can splash on your dome like baseballs, and face falls to the ground, calling like maze walls. Now they can't stop us cause we moving too fast. Enough sand in the eyes, turn the desert to glass. Hit them bow, it's a nuclear bomb detected. Infected with the rhyme meat rejected.
Master of the Psi, Pookie's causing trouble, and now he's gonna die. I come from Dalam, where the samurai hail. I've gotta make my master proud, and prove that I won't fail. These demons are attacking, cause I'm no defensive dude. HP's down to zero, but wait, I got the food. Hell's back again, Prince is back on top. Oh my god, critical smash, Fatty just got rocked. That hippie's got a toothbrush and a tube of Colgate. I'll blind you with those whites, Ness, you better look away. I'll slice some dice with my sword of kings, till the fat lady sings, star some in your
whoa,
face.
Whoa, where'd you get that?
Rook training, running through the cities with people talking witty, from the dunes that are dusty down to old Saturn Valley, picking up presents and stealing monsters' money. That's how I gotta roll if I wanna keep my honeys.
Yeah, that's it. You don't get any more. Fuck you.
Hey, Earthbound, what the fuck is this? Apparently it's a three-dimensional plastic case with a modern-day circuit board mounted inside, with the sole intensive purpose of entertaining a modern-day audience of years ago, but not limited to today.
What?
Duh, but I've never played this game. Sounds lame, but it's true, and this unfortunate lack of gameplay, and I cannot undo. The cartridge is downstairs, you dumb fuck, go play it, I say.
I don't want to, Mommy. Games make my wee-wee tingle, okay?
Curiosity killed the cat, and cats are fat. So I measured the dimensions of the cartridge itself and come to the stunning conclusion. 5.5 by 3.5 by 1.something. Ah, fuck, that something means nothing. A chemical analysis proves nothing of hypothesis, of which I thought up in the shower while I read Nintendo Power.
What?
Ah, so I lied, but the fact remains that the game is made of gray plastic.
Or so I think.